today, we are going to be talking about the future of Vineyard Community Church, the future of this church, and how we can all invest in the future of our church. And that's why the title of today's series is Better Than Before. We're going to be talking about how we can make something better than before. And what I want to do is I just want to start out, just get right into the Word. I'm going to read a passage from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and it starts in verse 3. And the Apostle Paul, he traveled around the Mediterranean area, and he established these churches. He got them started, and then in his travels, he would write letters back to them. And so this is a letter that he wrote to the church of Philippi. And so here it is, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So when I was thinking about this particular message today, this passage just kind of jumped out at me. And actually, we're going to dial in on verse 6 for a minute. But before we do that, you know, this is one of those things that, this is one of those passages where you might start reading and then you just kind of gloss right by it. But I can honestly say, I mean, I can stand here before you and honestly say that when I think of this church, when I think of the staff that we have, when I think of our directors, our student leader directors, our board of directors, our ushers, greeters, hosts, our children's volunteers, when I think of those of you that support this church sacrificially and with your tithes, it gives me great joy in knowing that we are all in this together, that we are a church family doing this together. And I pray for you guys. I really do. I pray for our church as a whole. And then every now and then, I might have a picture of somebody in my head, and whatever I'm doing, if I'm working in the yard or if I'm just going about my business, I will pray for that person. Because I believe that the picture of that person is in my mind because God is saying, hey, I want you to think about this person. So I can honestly say that this church gives me great joy to lead and that we couldn't do anything that we do without you guys. But then look at verse 6. Verse 6 is what really kind of jumps out at me. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. This is very significant. Again, this is something that I think we might have a tendency to just kind of gloss right over because it's at the very beginning of the book, and it's kind of like the greetings part of Paul's letter. But something that this verse tells me, first of all, is that no matter how bad things get, no matter how much life kicks you around, no matter how much we struggle with things, no matter how hard we try to stand strong in this messed up world that we live in, as a believer in Jesus, what this tells me is that God will never, ever, ever give up on us. He will never give up on us. Because he began a good work within each one of us the moment that we decided to put our trust in his son, Jesus. He began a good work in us. And he will see it through until the day Jesus returns. So if you struggle, if you like, oh, I take one step forward and it seems like I take three steps back in my spiritual life, or you just go through life and you're just like, oh, I don't, you know what, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. Stop it. Because God is saying, I am not going to give up on you until Jesus comes back. So he's with you in all of this. I would say for you, if that person is you, hold on to that verse. Make that your life verse for right now. But let's dial in on that verse a little bit more, and let's bring it home to this church, all right? To Vineyard Community Church. 40 plus years ago, God began a good work within this church. through Pastor Dave, our pastor emeritus. I think this is an amazing story because 40 plus years ago, God put it on Pastor Dave's heart to get into ministry full time, to become a pastor. So then he has this crazy idea to start a church. And just so you know, pastors don't really grow up saying, I want to become a pastor. It's usually something that God steers us and guides us, and we're like, all right, I'm in. I'm going to do this. But he decides to start this church, right? So then he and Roxanna move from the state of Oregon to this little-known spot on the map called Reynoldsburg, Ohio. And they started this church in 1978, and it was called Faith Chapel at the time. We joined the Vineyard in 05. But for 43 years, they faithfully pastored this church. And this church has seen successes. And this church has seen thousands of people come through here and give their lives to Christ. Lives have been changed. Things have been done. All kinds of fun stuff. Now, it gets even, I think, even crazier when you think about this. Because God is up there orchestrating all of this stuff. When Pastor Dave was thinking, you know, Roxanna, I think maybe we're supposed to move to across the country to Ohio and start this church. Well, God was up there doing this. While he was over here working with world leaders and he was over here fixing up somebody's life, you know, and he was over here doing this, he's doing all of this stuff. But I believe, you can't, unless I'm standing in front of Jesus and he says, ah, Chip, you're wrong. I believe that as they were starting this church, that God said, when your chapter of leading this church comes to a close, I already have the leaders of that church, and Chip and Kim Richardson will be leading the church after you. I believe that. And I also believe that when our chapter comes to a close, that God already knows who's going to fill our shoes and continue to lead this church, because he will continue his good work until it is finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns. And so when it comes to the future of this church, I am constantly on the lookout and observing, and when I have conversations with people, I'm like, all right, God, you know, who are you bringing in my path, in my life, that can be a leader in this church, that can take over some pastoral duties in this church, that can do whatever in this church, that can be a part of the leadership of this church? I'm constantly on the lookout for that. And I think that if I'm not, then I'm failing on my part as a leader. Because I need to find somebody who I can invest my life into, just like Pastor Dave invested his life into me. See, that DNA runs all the way through the leadership of this church. That's how it works, that spiritual DNA. Believe me, you, when I first came into this church, I had no idea that I'd be standing up here one day. I didn't. I just thought I needed Jesus to fix my life. And he's still fixing it. I did. But you see, once God starts a good work here on earth, it's not finished until Jesus comes back. It isn't finished. And so we need to be on the lookout for what he's doing and where he's at and join him in that. And I believe that I can faithfully and honestly say this because of what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So as human beings, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see all of our flaws, right? We know all of our mess ups. We know all of our shortcomings. We see every hair that's out of place and every feature that we don't like about ourselves. But God says, you are a masterpiece. He looks at each one of us as if we were the greatest piece of creation he ever made. That's how he sees us. And the moment we put our trust in Jesus, God says, okay, I had plans for you long ago. Now that you're with me here, let's do this. And he will not be finished with that good work within us until Jesus returns. Some of us are well into those plans, and we already know what's happening, and we're navigating through life with God. Some of us are trying to figure it out, and we're kind of just wondering what's happening, and some of us are just getting started. But nevertheless, here's the deal. God knew the church you would call family before you did. He knew that you would call this your church family before you knew it. We had a guest speaker here last week, Michael Hansen from Vineyard Church in Delaware County in Sunbury. And he said something. He said, you don't get to pick your friend. He said, no, he said, you get to pick your friends. You can pick your friends, but you don't pick your family. We don't pick the families that we're placed in, and we don't pick our church family because God places us in those families. He puts us in the families. Psalm, I think it is 68, it says, God places the lonely in families, something like that. He already knows who you're going to be doing life with as a church family because he wants you in that family. So all of us together make up the body of Christ. And so what exactly does that mean? Well, in his letter, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church of Corinth, he actually kind of breaks this down in chapter 12. And I'm going to read two verses of it, but most of the chapter, Paul is talking about how we are one body in Christ, but many parts. And he says in chapter 12, verse 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So we got our fingers and our toes and our arms and our, you know, all of these things have different functions in our bodies, but they all work together in one accord. And that's, Paul is making that analogy with the body of Christ, the church. Then he says down in verse 27, well, let's do verse 26. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. If I'm honoring my brother or my sister in the church family, people see that and it makes them smile. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And then he goes down and lists all these different roles within the church. You see, we are a church body here at Vineyard Community Church, within the giant body of Christ that is worldwide. Every one of us have a small part to play in this grand scheme of things. Like, I look at it like this. Like, God is up there. He is doing things with world leaders. He is doing things with nations. But he's also very meticulous, and he's doing things with each individual person that helps make up the body of Christ. So all of us here help make up this body of Christ in this church, and this church helps make up a larger part of the body of Christ, let's say within the Vineyard movement, and the Vineyard helps make up the large body of Christ within other churches too. We're all doing things differently, and we all have different things to do and different roles to play, but we make up the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Now, within all of that, we all have dreams, right? We all have dreams for our lives and dreams for our families and our marriage and our careers and all of that. We've got dreams. We've got things that we want to do. But there are also dreams and plans that God has for each one of us. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, God says, all these things I planned for you to do long ago are now going to start coming to life. But then, within those dreams, there's even a greater purpose. God has dreams and plans for our lives together as a church family, because this family makes up a part of the body of Christ. So God has specific dreams and plans for Vineyard Community Church that he wants to see us do. Now, we need to understand, we got to be open to that. We have to listen to his voice. We have to understand where he's moving at and then join up with him. We don't go first and then he joins up with us. We got to look. We got to navigate through life, find out where God is, and join up with him. So together, we can prepare for the future as a church family. If we're all just doing our own thing, we're not functioning as a body. Each of us has an important role to play within God's plan for this church. And the most important role that we have to play is unity. We have to keep the unity. We talked about this a few weeks ago within the church. And I don't think that's really something that this church has to worry about. We are really unified in this church. As a matter of fact, we're almost so unified that it's hard for visitors to kind of break in. It's a good thing, but it's true. I mean, we're a unified church. And so when people come in, we got to welcome them into our church family because they're here. They want to be a part of something. And that unity within a church family is so that people can see that Jesus can be found here. Because the bottom line is, our main role in life is to point people to Jesus. It's not our job to fix people, it's our job to point them to Jesus and let Him take care of it. And each one of us is unique, has a unique role that makes up what we can contribute to the church family. See, we're not just here to take up space. That seat that you sit in every Sunday, you may think it's yours. But if you're just coming here on Sunday, sitting here and leaving, and you don't have any friends and you're not meeting anybody, you know, you're not here to just take up space. You got to listen for God. And sometimes you got to put yourself out there too. And it's hard. God put us here to make a difference with our lives. See, the person next to you can make a difference in an area that you can't. There are people here that can make differences in the lives of others that I can't. There are people that I can make a difference in their lives that somebody else can't. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's just the way it is. There are people that Dale Greisinger can reach for Jesus that won't listen to me. I can get upset about that, but let's face it, that's the way it is. There are people that Mike Kale can't reach that I can come up to, and they'll give their lives to Jesus. Because each of us has a unique role to play, and each of us have characteristics and things about us that other people are attracted to that somebody else might not be attracted to. So the point is, we're all needed, every single one of us. And the analogy that I think of when I talk about this is like this, a puzzle. We have any puzzle people here? You guys like to do puzzles? I mean, yes, Paul and Katie, yes. I mean, COVID, who did puzzles? Did anybody do an enormous amount of puzzles? Yes. I don't have the patience for puzzles, but my family makes me sit down to do board games. But what does a puzzle look like when there is a piece or there are pieces missing? There's holes. There's a gap. There's something missing that's not connecting those pieces together to create the entire picture. And that's what it looks like when some of us don't do our part in the church family, in the body of Christ. If one of us doesn't do our part, or some of us don't do our part, there's a piece missing that God is trying to accomplish through us. Does that make sense? We're all in this together. We all have a part to play. See, God's plans and God's dreams for our lives are much bigger than anything we could ever come up with for ourselves. You put your biggest dream on the table in front of God, and he's going to look at you and go, "That's all you got? Look at the dreams I have for you. Don't hold back." And how can I say that? Because this is a famous verse for some of us in this church. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Don't set limits on yourself when it comes to kingdom-minded things, or anything for that matter. Because God says, "You're thinking like this, I'm thinking like this." What this verse tells us is that God will outdo any dream we could ever think of accomplishing. Anything. He will bless us beyond imagination. We pray for our needs, and God says, I'll meet your needs. But you know what? Once that's met, I got something down the road for you that's going to blow your mind. Because God is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think. See, I have big plans, big dreams. I have big dreams for this church. And some of them are God-inspired dreams. And some of them are just maybe crazy ideas that I think would be cool if we did them. You know, this community fest, I thought was a crazy idea. Just something, hey, let's kind of throw this out there and see if we have fun with it. Well, boom, my wife Kim is overseeing it. We've got three big food trucks, some dessert trucks. We've got three professional bands. We've got 30-plus vendors. Within a matter of weeks, this thing just blew up. I thought it was a crazy idea, but I think God was like, oh, yeah, really? You want to bring the community together? I got something for you. Get ready. I have a dream for a wing to be on this side of the building for the preschool. And Kristen Fitter, our children's director and our preschool director, I'm pretty sure she would say, I have that dream too. You know, that's a little further down the road, but it you know, a whole wing over here. But whether these are God-inspired dreams or just crazy ideas, we all have them. We all have them, right? We've got things we want to do. Here's the thing. When we involve God in the conversation of these dreams, we'll start to find out which ones he's involved in and which ones we might want to just kind of hold back a little bit. Maybe that's just a hobby or something that I can do on the side. But here's the deal. When you involve God in them, and you find out that they are God-inspired dreams that he's given you, that he birthed within you, he will arrange your life in such a way that those dreams happen, that they come to pass, because he breathes life into them. He's the one that sees them come to life, and we are just doing our best to navigate through it, and he joins us in that. He arranges things to line up in such a way that we know it wasn't humanly possible for these things to line up in the way that they did. And that is the greatest adventure with Jesus that we could ever be a part of. Because you're just, I don't know, if you're like me, you're just like, I'm just blown away. And you get, you're full of joy, right? And you're happy, and you're thanking God, and maybe you cry a little bit, and I cut the grass, and I'm just like, God is he's so good. I could give example after example of the doors that God has opened for Kim and I because of the dreams that we've had, because of the things that we've done, because of the giving of our money that we've given, out of our seeking God and being obedient to what he thought he wanted us to do. We've got a list of stories, you know, where God has met our needs. As a matter of fact, when it comes to giving, we used to say, what do you think? You want to give this amount? Yeah, let me pray about it. Let's see. Okay, I think we can do that. We don't even do that anymore. As a matter of fact, Kim wanted to sow into this ministry recently, and I said, whatever you think, you let me know what you think, and we'll make it happen. Because we understand that everything that we have comes from God, is God's. We are stewards of it. We're holding on to it. And however we can bless somebody around us, we are going to do that because we don't have a fear of things not working out financially for us. Because God will always see us through, no matter what. We don't even think about that anymore. If we're going to sow into a ministry, if we're going to give to something, we just do it. We make it happen, and God does the rest, because everything that we have is his, and it's because of him. So we tithe that, we give above and beyond that, and then we just watch how he takes care of us. You want to see God work in your life and show up in your life? Ask him to help you give financially. I mean, he'll show up. He really will. And so instead of going through all of our stories, I mean, we've got some, but what I want to do is I want to read another passage, and this comes from the book of Revelation, and this is about opening doors. I mean, Revelation is a crazy book to read. It's a lot of end time stuff, but this is a letter in Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Philadelphia, and these are the words of Jesus to this church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. These are the words of Jesus to the church of Philadelphia. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You're not very strong, but you obeyed me and you did not deny me. So my question is, if this is true for a church, the Church of Philadelphia in the end times, how much more would it be for us when we obey Jesus, we do not deny him? How much more will God open a door for us in our lives? That's something that I would hold on to, because if Jesus said it, we can hold on to that. When God leads us to do something and we follow that lead, he is going to open doors and continue the good work that he started. It's who he is. We already read that in the other passages. We can hold on to that. His word holds true. When we have the courage to walk through a door that God is leading us through, this is where faith comes in. And we get to experience God accomplish something infinitely more than we might ask or even think, because of our obedience and what we believe he's leading us through. And then what happens is our faith in him grows, and he expands our dreams and gives us even bigger and better things to accomplish as he continues that good work through us. Our faith and trust in Jesus will then have a bigger impact on those around us and the world out there. Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty big on bragging about what Jesus does for me. I want people to know. I'll slip it into a conversation. I used to be like, well, I don't know if I should say that, because I want God to keep blessing me, so maybe we'll just keep it between us. No, man. Let people know. Because our trust in him will inspire others in the good things he does through us. And then just as this whole body of Christ thing, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says this: God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. All right, it's just not a few gifts sprinkled here and there. It's a great variety that God has for each of us. Use them well to serve one another. We all have specific roles to play in the body of Christ, but there are times when we can all come together in one accord to make something happen. So, in the context of today's message, I want to share with you that today we are going to kick off a pledge campaign for our church. And this campaign is about investing in the building of our church, investing in the future of our church. So maybe you know this, maybe you don't know, but we are in need of a sound system. And we are in need of a better projector screen. This one here is nice and bright. This one here is a little washed out. This one here becomes washed out. This one here looks a little better sometimes. But does anybody in their house still have a square TV, or are they all widescreen? They're all widescreen, right? Well, we're square. That's called 4.3 ratio is what that is. That's called old. As a matter of fact, about 5 years ago, we had to replace this projector up here, and we had to pay extra because they don't make these projectors anymore. But this is an opportunity for us as a church family to come together and be a blessing to God and the building that we meet in. So what does that entail? Well, first of all, just so you have an idea of the sound system that we have up there. This Family Life Center is what it was once called, was built in 98. Is that right, Pastor Dave? 1998. Okay? Some of you weren't even born then, Rebecca. I remember one time, Ben, I got to call you out on this. I remember one time my son Ben was like, "Dad, it's not like it's the 90s. But listen, that sound system is the original sound system that was installed in this building in 1998, and it was purchased used. Well, that's right. You know, hey, Savon, you know why it still works? Because I've been praying for that thing for stinking years. You have no idea. I honestly think my prayers of what's been keeping that thing working. When we do that big TSO Christmas show, the amps really go through it, and then we have our Christmas Eve, and we have Christmas Eve practice, and things are like barely hanging on. And I'm convinced it's my begging prayers, God, this Christmas Eve service. But we have amps up there that I've purchased through eBay to replace some amps that have died. And just so you know, you can't find that equipment new anymore. And you can only find it on eBay as is. Hasn't been tested. You want it, buy it. I've purchased amps, and it's like, well, shoot, only half of it works. Well, it's as is, dude. You bought it. And so just to give you a little bit more of an idea of the system that we have up there, I want to paint this picture for you. So most of us are used to the quarter-inch plugs, right? Or maybe eighth-inch plugs for your sound systems, your stuff at home, your computers, right? Well, is anybody used to like the fork terminals that you would screw in to your old stereo systems? Okay, well, remember before the fork terminals came out, it was just bare wire. You would get some scissors or something, you would kind of cut it really nice and neat, you'd flip it off, you twist it around, and then you screw it in the back of your stereo. That's what we got up there. You know, so we are in need, and I think from what I hear over here on this side, this speaker here has been cutting out lately, so it's kind of good timing. But it's not the speaker, it's amps up there. So church, really, you know, we need to upgrade our sound system, and I'm going to ask you to help us do that. And also, we're going to do a big projector screen, so we're going to put one up. We're going to get as big, I was told to get as big as you can. Across this back wall. As big as you can, we'd like to put a projector screen on this back wall, and we'll move the cross either, we'll put it somewhere, I don't know, but we'll light it up. You know, we won't take it down. I've seen too many worship fail videos. It's not going over here by the drum cage. Not going over there. So, but the cross will be up here. But that's what we're looking at, church. We're looking at a new sound system, a big projector screen. And part of that sound system as well is we'll install speakers out in the foyer, the cafe area, and the restrooms, so the sermon and worship and everything can be piped out there as well. So why do we need this? I mean, you're sitting here and you're like, I think it sounds just great. We'll move around the room a little bit and then let me know after a couple weeks where you're at. Well, if you're asking yourself, why do we need this? Why? Everything sounds great. Well, I would ask you this. When you have an appliance that's breaking down in your house, do you just wait until it's dead and then go buy a new one? Refrigerator, freezer? Or do you get it fixed? You know, when you have a leaky roof and you can see the water in the ceiling, do you wait until the water builds up and it falls down on the living room floor? Or do you call somebody to get the roof fixed? Now, some of you might do that, so I don't... just live your life. Let me do what I'm doing now. But really, I'm not kidding. I mean, I that thing has needed replaced for a long time. So it's time to upgrade the appliances in our church, you know. And so the other thing, too, is, you know, we haven't done a pledge campaign in about 10 years. So we did one for the parking lot about 10 years ago, and we got some money. We put the coating over top of it and put some lines, and then a few years ago we were able to actually do what we call this top half here. And then prior to that, in like 07, I think, was when we did a pledge campaign. Okay, so we really haven't asked the church to join us in something in a long time. And I feel really good about this because, let me just tell you before I get into our pledge card. So we've already got started a little bit here. So I had a family call me and say, hey, we would like to give to the church. Because you've invested in us, we would like to give back to the church above and beyond our tithe. So we would like to know if there's an area where we could designate this to. This was a month ago or so. And I was like, oh, well, I think I have an idea. So I told them about this pledge coming up. So the church also has a little bit of money saved up. So we're asking for $80,000 for this pledge campaign, and we are already at $32,000. And that's because this church invested in a family, and they wanted to give back, and plus we've been saving up a little bit. So here's the deal. We're asking for $80,000. We have, do the math, we have 32 already. It might be a little bit more. You know, there's always added costs in there. The sooner we reach our goal, 80,000, the sooner we can get this project started. I've got a quote. I've got a company lined up. They're just waiting for me to say, let's do this. And it will take a couple months for them to order the equipment, he told me, and stuff. So we broke this down so that it really isn't that hard. Like, for instance, you can give $10 a week if you only have enough to give $250. $10 a week, that's $42 a month. $20 a week, that's $84 a month, $500. And then it just kind of goes down, and it's broken down in here. So I want to ask you, church, to join with me in this campaign. As we're starting it today. Next week we'll have envelopes in the bulletin. But there's different ways that you can give. So what we would like you to do is you know, fill out the back of this card so we have an idea of how much you want to give, and we can start kind of tallying that up and know where we're at, and drop this off in the offering boxes. So these are in the bulletin, and then I think they're around the building as well. And then next week you'll see some green envelopes that say Better Than Before 2021 Pledge. Now, if you want to give, make sure that you designate it to the Better Than Before 2021 Pledge. If you do online bill pay, put that in the memo. If you write a check, put it in the memo. You can put it in the envelope. And you can also go to our website, and in the designation, close to the top, is Better Than Before 2021 Pledge. You can start giving on the website already as well. So the one place that you can't really give to this is our text to giving, because all that just goes straight into tithes. So if you do that, just let us know, and then we'll move it over into this. But here's what I want to do. You know, most of our young people sit over here. You guys are scattered. This is the future of your church. This is your church. This is our church, all of us. I'm a firm believer in that the younger people are the future of our church, but the older people, I'm in that category. It's our duty to invest in the younger people in the church. Because we have life's experiences with Jesus that we can invest into their lives. And if we don't do it, they're figuring it out on their own. So why don't we invest in this church together? Amen? And then also, think of a fun way to do this, guys. Talk to God about it. I guarantee you, He will show up in your life and He will be, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to give. Give sacrificially. And let's together make a difference and invest in our church building. Amen? All right. Lord. Lord God, I just thank you for those who call this church their family. And as today, July 18th, 2021, as we kick off this pledge, God, I pray that you would start dropping a dollar amount into people's hearts, Lord God. I pray that sacrificial giving would take place, God. And I pray that Ephesians 3:20 shows up in everybody's life who is a part of this, God. That they will see that when they give sacrificially, you give back infinitely more than they could ever ask or think of. And I want to ask that for this church as well, God. Jesus, that as we together invest in the building of this church, that you would show up infinitely more than we could ever ask or think of. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.